I decided that I would preach on faith in times of crisis, prompted by the flood crisis that is happening in Victoria and beyond. And I'm sure that our hearts are united as we think of those areas in Victoria that are really affected. We've had one area very close to us, haven't we, in Maribyrnong. But the uncertainty continues for people long after the news has gone from the front page of the newspapers or the first 5 minutes of the television news. That is how it is now with media. Something occupies the front page for a few days, maybe a week, and then there's another crisis that happens or something else that is focused on. But for people in crisis, that uncertainty can go on for a long, long time. And it's a time of transition for people, particularly as you think of them having to clean up houses, clear away the debris, decide what's going to happen. And their lives have been disrupted. And the question is, what happens now? How do I live my life now that this crisis has happened? Because after a crisis, life doesn't return in quite the same way as we knew it before. And we ponder, what does faith mean in times of crisis? How does our Christian faith help us to live in a time of crisis? How does the Christian faith help the world? And so my message this morning is focused on these four aspects. Will your faith anchor you in the storm, in the crisis? Will your faith anchor you and hold you? How does faith help you to be resilient in life? And then we'll look at having faith in the promise of God's presence and the promise of God's peace. People experience crisis in different ways. There are the big crises of life: floods, bushfires, earthquakes, cyclones that engulf whole communities, sometimes a whole nation. And then there are times of personal crisis. It might be a health challenge. Someone close to you dies. There's a broken relationship. Someone loses their job. So these are also crises, but they don't affect the whole community. They affect you and those close to you. People are facing personal crises every day. Some of the people that you meet have a crisis happening, but they may not talk about it. And how does faith help you when you are going through a personal crisis? Now, as a church, over the last few days, you've received the news of Paul's resignation. And thank you for putting it in the context that you did this morning, Paul. Paul did speak to me before today so that it wasn't a surprise when I came. Now, it may not be of a crisis nature in the way that we think about crisis, although some of you may feel that it is. But the question is similar. What happens now? What happens for Paul? What happens for the church? There may be feelings of shock or surprise, and certainly there will be that feeling of uncertainty about the future that is not yet known. Where do we find our grounding when we are confronted by change, sometimes unexpectedly? It is a matter of trusting that God is with you in this very situation. God is with you in this church, because it is God's church. It's not Paul's church. It's not your church. It's God's church. And God will be with you as you make decisions about the future, because that is what he has always done. And God will be with Paul as Paul makes a decision about his future. At the time when Israel was preparing to enter the promised land, and remember it was 40 years since they had been freed from slavery in Egypt, Moses gave Joshua this reassurance. And I love how the Holy Spirit connects the preparation that I have done the preparation that Paul has done through this week, and we've settled on the same verse. Deuteronomy 31, 7 to 8. This was not planned. Be strong and bold, for you, that's Joshua, are the one who will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their ancestors to give them. Hear the promise? God had promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that there would be a land for them. And you will put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. Remember that as a church. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. That's for you. That's for Paul. Do not fear or be dismayed. That promise is like an anchor. And so I invite you to consider this question. Will your faith anchor you and hold you in the storm, in the crisis? If you walk along the Strand waterfront in Williamstown, you come to an anchor. It's from a ship, the HMVS Nelson, named after the British naval hero Horatio Nelson. And at different times when I'm walking along the Strand, I will stop and touch that anchor because it's very strong. You can't move it. And it's a symbol to me of how our faith anchors us in a time of crisis. Because the purpose of an anchor is to stop the ship drifting away, either by the current or the wind or the storm. It fixes the vessel. In the past 2 years, the whole world has been going through a crisis that can be likened to a storm, COVID-19. We're tired of hearing about it, aren't we? But our lives have changed. The usual patterns of life were upended for months. And although life has returned to normality, we have all been affected in some way. And if you reflect on life, say, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, there may be a change that you recognize in yourself. You may not take things for granted as much now. You may not take your health for granted. At times like this, what anchors you? What anchors you when you face a personal crisis in your life? When your daily routines no longer work? When something rocks your feeling of stability, what will give you security and keep you grounded? And the visible symbol of an anchor reminds us that anchor points can hold us still in a shifting world so we don't drift away or become shipwrecked ourselves. So trust the anchor of faith and hope that God provides. How does faith help you be resilient in life? Here's an illustration of resilience. So I've got an elastic band here. If I pull it, there is tension. If I let it go, it resumes its natural state. And the length to which I stretch it is its capacity to hold the tension. Actually, I can't stretch it any further. It's like that in life. Sometimes we feel like that. We feel, I am so stretched. I cannot be stretched anymore. That's how it is. And when I stretch the band, it feels strong. If I stretch it too far, it will break. This is resilience, strength, intention. It is the ability to recover, to come back from setbacks and adapt to change. And all the ways in which we nurture our faith through spiritual practices every day strengthens us for the challenges. So those spiritual practices that you have, whatever they might be, and sometimes they'll be different in different times, will help you when life feels like this. 2 years ago, as well as some health and mental health challenges that were happening in our home life, which are ongoing, My parents contracted the COVID virus just down here in Arcadia. They were both close to death, and I was called in for an end-of-life visit because the staff felt that they would both die that night. And it's interesting that that had always been a prayer of my mum and dad, that they would die together. Now, it didn't actually happen like that. The short version is that they survived the crisis. And mum recovered until she contracted COVID again earlier this year, on the morning of her 100th birthday party, which meant that she missed it. How you live 100 years and then miss your 100th birthday party, I don't know, but there we are. But she has recovered from that as well. There's something very resilient in her health. And Dad, however, was severely debilitated by the COVID virus and eventually required high dependency care until he died last year. But I experienced the resilience. I actually felt like that at the time. But I experienced the resilience that comes from being held by the community of faith in their prayers, when my prayers were all over the place. So don't underestimate the value and the strength of your prayers as a community and how that helps individual people. There were friends who walked with us when we could meet during the lockdown restrictions. I think you could meet up with 5 people. I can't remember what it was now. We've all forgotten it, haven't we? The care packages that arrived spontaneously from a family member interstate, from friends. And then the assurance that the Lord was there with us, holding us with stability as he promises in Scripture. And bubbling up deep from within me was God's word gathered in my heart over years, over decades, that became a reservoir of strength, not of my own making. That's resilience. And so I encourage you to soak in God's word so that it does reside in you and it becomes that reservoir of strength in the moments when you need it. And something else that is helpful when life is overwhelming and it gets like that is, and your thoughts are going everywhere, is to take one day at a time. Just focus on what you need to do for that day. So whatever is happening in your life right now, crisis or not, don't neglect God's word. And if your only prayer can be, Lord, help me, it is enough. 3 words, Lord, help me. At the end of the day, offer it to God. Lord, here's my day, the good parts, the difficult parts. When I did well, when I feel that I faltered, let me face tomorrow with resilient trust. Trust that a resilient faith will deepen you and strengthen you. And then we need to have faith in God's promise of his presence. One commentator found over 7,000 promises from God in the Bible, 7,000. When are the times you have known one of God's promises being fulfilled for you? Do you have a sense of faithfulness and constancy of God's presence toward you? Sometimes we have a heightened awareness of God's presence. It might be when we're with someone and they say something to us. It might be somebody caring for us. Or when you are going through a difficult time, you are aware of an added reserve of strength and energy being given to you in the moment. And I encourage you to notice how God's presence becomes real for you. Sometimes we feel as though, you know, kind of God's presence is over there and we've got to work really hard to get it. But we don't. God's presence is actually with us. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you because you are a believer, God's presence is actually in you all the time. God's presence is with you all the time. Sometimes what is missing is our awareness of God's presence. So we need to be aware, we need to notice God's presence. And we find the promise of God's presence with us in many places in the Bible. Here are a few. to Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. One of the descriptions of Jesus at his birth was Emmanuel, God, meaning God with us. And it's interesting that that's, well, God with you is going to be the theme of Christmas. There's another link, Paul. We really must have been on the same wavelength. Emmanuel, the name given to Jesus, Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. And then among the final words that Jesus left with his disciples before he ascended, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So it's interesting how Matthew's gospel is bookended by these two promises of God. Matthew 2, God with us, or Matthew 1, God with us, and Matthew 28, Jesus says, I will be with you. The whole gospel is framed with that promise, that truth. Brother Lawrence was a 17th century French monk, and he talked about practicing the presence of God. He said, I still believe that all spiritual life consists of practicing God's presence. Now, Brother Lawrence worked in the kitchen of the monastery where he lived, and he learned an important lesson. He learned that he could be as close in relationship to God among the pots and pans and the cooking for the monks as he could be in a time of intentional prayer. And so he learned that God's presence is with us everywhere. And he wrote this little book, Practicing the Presence of God. Practicing the Presence of God. So we need to trust the promise of God's presence. And then we have faith in God's promise of peace. We live in a very anxious time, don't we? It has been noticeable, particularly through the pandemic and lockdowns, children and young people suffering anxiety, very young children experiencing anxiety. John Lennon, in his well-known song, Imagine, which is not a Christian song, but he expresses this thought, imagine all the people living life in peace. I'm sure that's something we dream about. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. I'm sure we kind of echo those sorts of sentiments in that secular song, because it's expressing a desire for peace in international relations in the world, as well as a longing to have inward peace that helps us deal with anxiety. Now, Jesus understood the anxiety that was present in people. This is not a new thing. Although there's a lot of attention being given to it now, anxiety has been in human nature ever since humans existed. And Jesus gave his disciples, in that time where he shared with them before his suffering, in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The peace of Jesus can be yours. And then Paul picks up this whole message about peace in Philippians when he gave them this promise, the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that expression, that the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. Peace guarding it so that you don't kind of sink into anxiety. Trust the promise of God's peace. And at times when you feel anxious, you can go to those words, you can say them. You can ask God, please make this real for me, that I will understand, I will experience the peace that Jesus gives. Presence and peace, great promises. God is faithful and keeps his promises, so you can trust them. As you exercise your faith when crisis or change happens, we are to embody the life and sacrificial love of Jesus in who we are and what we do for others. I came across this quote: to love our neighbor, to enter into the presence of another human being, is to enter into the presence of God. So the presence of Christ that is with me meets the presence of Christ that is in you. It's a very special bond, actually, that happens and enables you to care for someone else in that kind of care that God enables you to give. But Jesus entered into the suffering of the world. So people often ask when a crisis happens, well, where is God? Why did God let that happen? Well, those things happen. They are part of nature, the force of nature. But Jesus came and entered the suffering of the world. He was willing to do that, not just to look at it, but to enter it. All of the suffering caused by sin and human failings, and he became the ultimate burden bearer for us. Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus, in his prophetic voice said, "It was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. He bore the sins of many and interceded for sinners." Remarkable. The good news of the gospel of God's love for everyone was embodied in the person of Jesus. Paul quoted John 1:14, "The word became flesh and dwelt among us, moved into the neighborhood." Embodied in the person of Jesus and expressed in his life, ministry, death, and resurrection. That is to be our anchor. We can trust God as our anchor. Why? Because Jesus has identified with our suffering. He has identified with people in crisis because he knows what it is to experience crisis. One of the gospel stories that comes to mind is Jesus in the boat asleep in the storm and the disciples panicking, anxious. It was their crisis time, and waking Jesus up, "Don't you care about us?" So that capacity that Jesus had to sleep through a storm, to rest. Why? Because his faith was in the God who controlled the storm. As Christian believers, we are known as Easter people because Easter encompasses the suffering, the anguish, the despair, the confusion associated with the cross as Jesus was plunged into the heart of the world's darkness. He went beyond what anyone has experienced. And hope and healing for the world, and hope and healing for ourselves, can only happen as we bring ourselves to the cross of Jesus, to the cross of Jesus. Surrender our own desires and our self-focus, asking for forgiveness, asking for cleansing, and then be lifted up as forgiven people who have experienced the astounding grace and love for Jesus. So how is it with your faith? Will your anchor hold? Sink your anchor into the love of God and let him hold you through the crisis, through the change. And in times of change, personal and as a church, have faith in God's constancy. Trust the promises of God's presence and peace. And so I want to leave this assurance and encouragement with you for your times of crisis in the words of Peter. And if we think of Peter's experience of denying Jesus and then being restored to fellowship with Jesus again, gives context to these words that Peter wrote, 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Now, I'm going to ask you, I've just said those words over you, but I'm going to ask you to say them with me. Let's say them together aloud. Let these words sink into you. Ask the Holy Spirit to make these words real for you in your life. Let's say them together. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Will your anchor hold? Amen.